Welcome to Smashing the Plateau. We help you get unstuck so you can do what you love and get paid what you're worth. I'm your host, David Schreiner Khan.
Business is not rocket science. It really is pretty easy. And the old axiom that it's easier to fish in a stocked pond is true.
Today on episode 443 of Smashing the Plateau, I'm here with author and leadership speaker, Richard Nongard. I'm going to ask Richard what mistakes are most commonly made by business leaders, how to find unexpected opportunities with existing customers, what the most important steps are for coaches and consultants to build business, and much more. You can read a description of our discussion, information about Richard, including links and resources we mentioned in this episode, on our website at smashingtheplateau.com. What would you like to hear on Smashing the Plateau? Email me and let me know. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com, or click Get in Touch on our website. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Now let's welcome Richard Nongard. Richard is the author of Viral Leadership, Seize the Power of Now to Create Lasting Transformation in Business. And he's the host of the Leadership That Makes You Money podcast. Richard helps leaders create innovation and engage teams through training leaders with the evidence-based methods that are proven to work. He's an entrepreneur and business owner with a doctorate in transformational leadership from Bakke Graduate University. Richard, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, David. It's great to be here. And thank you to all the listeners for tuning in. I appreciate that as well.
Yes. To Richard, you have an interesting background. I didn't go into detail in your bio in introducing you, but a lot of people in the business leadership space, people that are in the advisory space helping with business leadership, have a very linear corporate background. You have anything but that. And I'd love to hear a little bit about the actual trajectory of your background and how you have learned the expertise that you have.
Sure. Well, I've kind of arrived at the space of doing both consulting and coaching for C-suites and for board members and a lot of keynotes for organizations because my background is really completely different. I started out, I guess, as a kid, as an entrepreneur, selling Olympic greeting cards door to door. And I actually paid for college by doing magic and balloon animals at kids' birthday parties and earned my living as an entertainer. And my mom always said I couldn't be a magician as a grown-up, so I had to get a real degree. So I ended up getting a master's degree in counseling and becoming a psychotherapist. And I've always been an entrepreneur. Over the years, I've owned multiple restaurants. I've built $1 million e-commerce platforms, a continuing education company. I've really tried to involve myself in business at every level and with many different types of businesses. But that core education as a psychotherapist has turned out to be truly useful because it's helped me to apply a specific set of problem-solving skills to those who I'm doing coaching with.
Oh, interesting. So what are those problem-solving skills?
Well, I think the problem-solving skills include ways to engage teams, ways to activate our intentions rather than goal setting. And because I am also a professor, I try to take a look at the research and the literature. What does it actually show us? You know, I was doing a sales training not too long ago, and one of the salespeople asked about, you know, positive affirmations. In other words, self-talk, you know, I'm a great seller, I'm making $1 million or whatever else. But the research actually shows us that what is actually more effective are questions that guide us into the solutions. And so a better way of setting an affirmation rather than a platitude that may or may not be true is to look inside of ourselves for the answer to a question that can then guide us into specific actions. So I do a lot of training, and in my own business, I do a lot of questioning, and I do a lot of creating a positive narrative and a shared narrative. And those are the skills that really bring a board together when a board of directors needs to function well to support the goals of the organization, as well as the C-suite executives who need to come together between perhaps the operations side and the personnel side.
Fascinating. So who are the clients that you serve most?
You know, I'm actually, I've worked with a wide variety of different clients, a lot of folks in the sales space, a lot of folks in financial services will bring me in to do coaching with them to help them to achieve their goals. This next week, I'm actually meeting for the first time with a logistics company in California. They do some amazing things. You know, if you need 20 Humvees and 20 barricades, you know, in, you know, Binkelman, Nebraska tomorrow at noon, they get it there. And so that's an interesting type of company. And I work with a lot of both traditional companies as well as innovative companies and startups and those in the tech space as well.
Uh-huh. And what kinds of problems do you like solving?
You know, I love working where the problems are between the articulated goal and the action that needs to take place. For example, a company might set fiscal year 2019 goals, but then how do they actually activate it? What things need to take place in order for those goals to actually manifest? What are the action steps? And sometimes when we're so close to a problem, we can't actually see clearly what steps need to be taken because we're so involved in all the chaos of a situation. And by being able to have an outside observer, I'm able to usually put together a step-by-step strategy for reaching those goals that occurs both, you know, in kind of an operations perspective as well as a subconscious perspective. Our subconscious beliefs about business really guide the actions that we take every day in our business.
So what are the mistakes that you see businesses commonly making?
Probably the number one mistake is living in the future rather than living in the present. This, by the way, is a mistake that both businesses make as well as individuals. You know, my son graduated from college last May. By the way, my daughter also graduated from college last May. It was kind of awesome. Two graduations 2 weeks apart.
Wow. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. And a lot of the parents, of course, brought their cameras so they wouldn't miss taking a picture when their kid walked across the stage. But I didn't bring a camera. And well, I had my phone, but I didn't bust my phone out because I didn't want to miss the moment by looking at it through the lens of a camera. I wanted to be fully present in that moment. I also trusted the university would probably take some decent pictures, but I didn't feel a need to control that myself. And so I was able to really enjoy the experience rather than being frustrated by technology or the camera or missing the moment by being so enmeshed with the idea that I had to preserve this for the future. And I think businesses do that as well. Businesses focus on what is the future going to be like? We have this corporate vision. What's the future going to be like? And they miss the power of the moment, the good things that are happening. So my book is really all about how to take the power of this moment, because that's really the only time that we have, and to create a lasting and sustaining business from the great things that are happening right now, the resources that we have right now.
Yeah. So in business, what's a story of someone that may have missed an opportunity because they're not paying attention to what's going on right now?
You know, in the restaurant business, one of the things that I constantly see are people trying to figure out what the next trend or the health trend is going to be so that they can be in front of that space. But that really doesn't serve their customers well who are looking for a meal today. And the reality is, if we do a great job of meeting our customers' need in the present moment, they will guide us organically into where it is that they would like to go. And in the restaurant business, of course, you know, it's the typical Pareto principle here. You know, 20% of our customers are coming back, you know, week after week and giving us 80% of our money. Those are the people who are going to create a sustaining business. And I see restaurants do that all the time. They change their menu to get in front of the trend, and their existing customers find somewhere else to go.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many businesses spend way too much time and energy and effort trying to get new business from new people and not pay attention to the existing customers and the opportunity to leverage the relationships with existing customers, get referrals from existing customers, and sell more to existing customers?
You know, business is not rocket science. It really is pretty easy. And the old axiom that it's easier to fish in a stocked pond is true. And I find that in my core business of continuing education for mental health professionals, I'm able to generate incredible amounts of income from the existing customers, which are free to acquire because they're already there, versus the advertising that I have to spend to acquire new customers. I do focus on, you know, new customer acquisition, but I never do it at the expense of the people I have right in front of me right now.
Right. What's an unexpected opportunity that may have come to you in that business around existing customers?
Probably some of the most unexpected opportunities that I've had, which I've come to expect, is that people will take my individual courses, the classes that I offer on various subjects, but then they'll ask me to come to their company, to speak to their entire team, to work with their entire group. And so I began, you know, this goes back many years, but I began doing a lot of coaching because of that. Somebody would take a course, let's say, you know, it was a course on personality disorder treatment and psychotherapy. And then they would say, hey, Richard, you know, we have some difficult personalities on our board. Do you think you could come in and talk a little bit about personality differences and maybe help our team come together and better understand each other? And so I'd say, sure. And that, of course, morphed into, actually, we brought you here because there's one specific board member who seems to be the problem, and can you fix them? And of course, that became coaching, because that's just the natural trajectory of things. And that's been something that I've been doing now for many years. And I've really enjoyed the ability to work with individuals to problem solve, and not even to fix what's wrong, but to step into a new future where we really focus on what's right. I use a process called appreciative inquiry. And appreciative inquiry isn't about fixing the problems. It's about taking the strength of board members, or strengths of executives, or strengths of the organization, strengths of the community, and then creating a shared narrative at every level. And that is a great way to create a healthy corporate culture.
Richard, when you've been presented with what seems like a new opportunity, how do you determine how much of your own either time and or money to invest in pursuing it before you decide, yes, I should go forward and try to do this or not?
So I've never been risk adverse. And one of the things that I have always done is I've always lived by the axiom that it takes money to make money. And I see many businesses fail to grow because they won't take the risks associated with capital expenditures or really expenses in any areas. And over the years, I have spent a lot of money to make money. And in doing so, one of the things that I've done is succeeded wildly. And of course, I can look at areas where I've spent money that I guess in retrospect probably shouldn't have, but I've never focused on the money that I've wasted, and instead on the money that I've made from those things that have paid off.
Yeah. Is there one that stands out as an investment that turned out to exceed your wildest expectations?
Direct mail. People think that I'm crazy for spending money on direct mail in the current era, and I've just quadrupled my spending on direct mail. And the reason why is I've gotten tremendous response recently from direct mail, because literally nobody's doing it anymore. Everybody's fishing on the internet. And I have found that unless it's political season, which it is, of course, right now, the mail that I send to people actually gets open and gets read. And I made a boatload of money in the 1990s doing direct mail. I was spending, you know, $50,000 a month on direct mail all through the 1990s. That's a lot of money.
Especially in the dollar value of 20 plus years ago.
Right. Exactly. And I've gone back to direct mail, and everybody who I talk to says, are you crazy? And it's paid off enormously for me. In fact, this morning when I woke up, I was preparing mailing lists and getting addresses updated, and I keep addresses, snail mail addresses, just like I do email addresses in the current era, because it's been a great way for me to generate revenue. I make $1.50 for every dollar I spend.
Yeah, look, it's no surprise that pursuing marketing methods that other people are not using can be of benefit?
Well, one of the other keys is, of course, to do it correctly. It doesn't really matter what marketing method we're using. What's really important is, are we using that method effectively? I see people who aren't using email correctly. I see people who aren't using media advertising correctly. I see people who aren't using social media correctly. I see people who aren't using snail mail correctly. And there's a right and a wrong way to do any marketing that we're doing. And we have to be, I think, aligned with the culture of that media.
What questions do you ask yourself when you're planning some kind of marketing initiative?
Well, most recently, I've been trying to figure out for a new project I'm working on, do I want to do a letter in the mail in an envelope that a person has to open that looks like a letter, or do I want to do a postcard? And I thought to myself, what would cause me to respond to the message? And the easiest thing, so I pictured myself getting my own mail. What is it that I do? So I decided for this mail out, I'm actually going to use a postcard, which directs them to our website. You see, in the current era, so many people spend time focusing on their website and trying to create the perfect font and do SEO and all that sort of stuff. And I think that really was the model 5 years ago and 10 years ago. We would get people to come to our website who didn't know who we are. But now our purpose in business on the internet is to get people who we know to go to our website to take a specific action. So I'm driving the traffic to my website. I'm far less interested in SEO now than I was 5 years ago, or certainly 10 years ago. And so I decided in this particular project, I'm going to go with a postcard that directs them to a website that they can take action either with the computer in their pocket, their telephone, or when they walk in the door of the office or their house to their desktop computer.
It sounds like a great strategy. Richard, what have you found in today's world are the most important things for somebody who is a coach or a consultant to do to build a business that has stable, consistent revenue?
I think the coaches and consultants have to look beyond their area of expertise, creating a niche. Whether it's operations or whether it's personnel or whether it's design and development or any other area of business is important. But to get education and experience beyond that is important. You know, I've recently teamed up to do training with Randy Dobbs. Randy Dobbs was the former CEO of General Electric Capital Information and Technology Services. He was the former CEO of Philips, as in Philips light bulbs and TVs, but Philips Medical North America. And he's an operations executive. He has decades of experience turning around operations. When he took over as the president and CEO of General Electric Capital, ITS, he was losing money, was hemorrhaging money. And through his operations expertise, he turned it around within a year. And Jack Welch gave him the GE Business Turnaround of the Year Award. Well, that's absolutely fantastic. But he's got that expertise. I have expertise in culture. I have expertise in communication. I have expertise in relationships and in tasks like goal setting on a personal level. And so he and I have teamed up to share our expertise in some of the trainings that we do so that questions from every side can be answered. And I think consultants and coaches need to be willing to bring in experts to their team to really meet their clients' needs at the deepest level.
And what have you found works well in terms of building consistent revenue? Once you've identified and you're really clear on who it is you want to serve and how, and you're able to provide the expertise to solve the most common problems, what have you found works well in terms of being able to solve those problems on a recurring basis so that you have consistent, stable income?
Sure. Well, there's really three things, and it boils down to what I call community, culture, and identity. Whether it's my business that I'm trying to sell or if I'm trying to help somebody sell their business, there has to be a community that is involved. We have to reach every stakeholder, from the board to the frontline employee to the community that we serve. And I think that a business that creates a sustainable revenue model for the future is one that is engaged in the community at every single level. The second element of that, again, is culture. And we have to be aligned with the current culture. So, I see people do Facebook marketing, for example, Facebook advertising, really, and they're not aligned with the culture of Facebook. You know, the interesting thing is sometimes I see the airlines will run ads for their ticket specials. And all it does is just tick off everybody who says, hey, you're not running a deal from my city. And the airline marketing team never comes in to answer those complaints. And those ads actually become counterproductive, I think, for the organization, because you know, you have literally thousands of negative comments slamming the airlines. And those are, I think, among some of the funniest ads that I see, because what they've missed is they've missed a way to engage a community by being aligned with the culture, and they haven't taken advantage of that well. Again, my example of the postcard to bring people to my website comes from an understanding that direct mail means that people aren't going to send a reply back in the mail, that I need to drive traffic to my website so that they can take a specific action that I've made easy for them to take. And by understanding the ways to align with the culture of our marketing, we can create incredible success. And then that third element of creating revenue is identity, an affirmative identity, but an identity that really increases our footprint. None of us probably have the resources of Coca-Cola to buy Super Bowl ads. Probably none of us could afford to buy all of the advertising that we want to buy. So how is it that we create a referral-based business rather than a prospecting-based business? Back to what we started the conversation with, how do we fish in the existing pond that we already have and serve the needs on an ongoing basis for the clients who are already on our list and are already customers of ours? And those are really the three things that have helped me to create ongoing recurring revenue.
Thank you for sharing that. Richard, whom do you know personally who's been really successful at smashing plateaus?
So there's a young man, I'm old, he's in his 30s, his name is Jason Lynette, and he's got a book coming out this December titled Work Smart Business. And I first met Jason a few years ago, and I wasn't quite sure what to think. And I listened to him, and I've learned a tremendous amount from him over the years. He's taken the time as a friend to be a mentor to me in many ways, and I've really appreciated him helping me with my understanding of how a website can be maximized to achieve its greatest level of potential, and how marketing is enhanced by engaging in the culture in a way that's aligned with the customer's needs. And Jason is just, he's a great businessman. I'm looking forward to his book coming out. It's called Work Smart Business. And I think it's coming out sometime this winter or early next spring.
Thanks for sharing that. And what's coming up in the near future for you? What do we have to look forward to?
So I finished the book, Viral Leadership, Seize the Power Now to Create Lasting Transformation in Business, and we just released it as an audiobook. So that's a great thing. And so my next project with my co-writer, whose name is RJ Banks, is a book titled Leadership That Makes You Money, 9 Ways to Claim the Top Spot on the Leaderboard in Sales. And every business has, of course, at its core foundation, the need to sell. I mean, business wouldn't exist without sales. And so some of the ideas that Rob and I have, we're sharing in that new book, and that should be out this or early in the winter as well. So I'm looking forward to that coming out.
Sounds great. And if somebody wants to go deeper with what you've shared today, or they want to learn more or access any of the resources you have, including the free gift you have, where would they go?
My website is viralleadership.com. And at the bottom of the website, there's actually an ebook. It's titled Community, Culture, and Identity. It's some very specific strategies for engaging leadership to create positive outcomes. And that's free. It's right there at the bottom of my website, right there at viralleadership.com. And that same website, of course, has a link to my podcast and, you know, links to my speaking and coaching, but also information about how people can work with me either one-on-one in coaching or have me come speak to their entire group.
And it also sounds like the ebook that you just mentioned includes many of the core elements of what you and I just discussed on this episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share your insights. It's been great having you on. My guest today has been Richard Nongard, author and leadership speaker, Dr. Richard K. Nongard and Associates. Thank you again, Richard, for joining us.
Thank you very much, and thank you to all the listeners as well.
When you visit the Smashing the Plateau website at smashingtheplateau.com, you'll find a summary of each episode along with the links we mention on the show. Today, we discussed what mistakes are most commonly made by business leaders, how to find unexpected opportunities with existing customers, and what the most important steps are for coaches and consultants to build business. What would you like to hear on Smashing the Plateau? Email me and let me know. That's david@smashingtheplateau.com, or click Get in Touch on our website. Remember to subscribe on whatever platform you listen on and leave a review if you can. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our show. I'll see you on our next episode.